introduce our speaker, our first speaker, Nixie from Principals First Group of NA in, what is that?
Beaver County.
Beaver County of NA.
I will. Thank you. What's up, everybody? I'm Nick. I'm an addict. When I first heard the topic, I was thinking about the IP Living a Program, like going back to the 10th step. And then, I don't know, 10 seconds ago, talking to Nick, and he's like, bro, it's just how you live your life. He's known me since active addiction and that, and he's like, no better speaker. So, like, when them nerves hits and, like, when I don't want to speak and I don't want to do things like that, I have to think of the fact that somebody thought highly enough of the program that I live to put me up here in front of you to share it. Takes a little bit of the edge off. With that being said, every single thing I do in my life today has something to do with living the program. Something as small as waking up and brushing my teeth. Because when I was in active addiction, that certainly wasn't a part of the story. I didn't care about absolutely anything other than the next one. So anything that I apply in my life today that makes me a quote-unquote normal or a productive member of society is a result of coming here, watching the example of people that did this before me, and just showed me a better way of life. When I had six, there's a gentleman sitting in this room. Every single time that I speak, I reference this because it was literally a pivotal point in my recovery. I picked up 6 months clean. This gentleman picked up 12 years. And in my mind at that time, 6 months, don't really know much about anything. The coin you get when you celebrate multiple years was like the Mecca to me. It's made out of metal. It's not plastic. Like, that means something. He walked over to me after the meeting and handed it to me and said, when you get there, just pass it. Or, yeah, pay it forward. In my brain, I'm like, wow, dude, like you, it's the coin. It's still the only coin I have on my keys. Never had any other keychain, nothing. But that coin has never left it. It's crazy. It's like somebody really believes in me. You think that I can do this long enough to pass this coin forward. You gave me something that means this much to you. In my mind at that point in time, like I said, this was something that was extremely valuable. I've never kept one of my coins as a result of that being handed to me that day. Every single one, every single year, when it gets handed to me, I seek the person that I feel that could use it the most. Hopefully that it'll change the point of their recovery the way that it did for me. The way I live my life today is pretty simple. I didn't really think about the fact until like that conversation a couple seconds ago that like every single thing that I do somehow implements recovery. Whether it be from the way I treat people, the way I treat myself, the way I view myself, the way I like conduct my relationship with God, all of it has something to do with NA. If you'd have told me before I got clean that having a life to where I'm at, which as I continue to grow and it gets better every day, that I could have this life, I definitely would have told you you were nuts. If you'd asked me when I had 6 months clean to write down a list of things that I wanted to achieve from recovery, I would have sold myself so short. I think the biggest thing that I did throughout my process here was surrounding myself with the right people. Recovery is a beautiful thing as a whole, but for me, the most important thing to do was to find the people that really lived the program. A lot of people can talk some real good shit. Let's be honest. They sit up here and they'll quote literature and they'll sit there and they're real good at showing you face. And then we know what they do behind closed doors. And then there's the people that sit around and they just get raw and honest and share the good times, the bad times, the pain. And they share how that like they stuck it through it. They did it clean. And now that they made it to the other side, they get to help other people make it through those same problems. Application of program in your life can save another person's life at any point in time. You just got to make it through the storm to be able to be that voice of hope for the next one. I've had that opportunity a few times in a few specific ways, but I've also realized that no matter what problem I face in my life, I never face it alone. And it's because I surrounded myself with people that have experience in all the different problems. If I'm in a meeting, one person shares about going through this, 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 all these different people. I have all these phone numbers in my phone. My at now 18-year-old daughter was going through a phase where she was doing some real dumb shit. And it was, as a parent, man, we don't want to see our kids struggle with anything. But like, we have to take a step back, let them have their own experiences, and let them form themselves in. We just have to protect them from like doing things that could be harmful to their life. There's a person from my area who went through the exact same type of thing, and his son unfortunately took his own life, and he made it through this process, some other struggles throughout it. He's still clean today. Prior to that happening, though, he would come to meetings and he would share the struggle and share the things that he went through and the relationship strains with his son as a result of the decisions being made. I was going through those same things. At that point, it's like, it's not about the chemical. It's about, like, I want to act out on some other behaviors. I want to have control because, like, that's my thing. I want to control every situation. If shit isn't going my way, I'm going to sit there and try to just force my will into everything. The advice I got was like, dude, you are powerless. You can do the groundings, you can take the phones, you can do all of this. The more you try to force, the deeper the rebellion gets. And you're just going to strain the relationship. And you're no longer this loving, caring voice just trying to protect. You're now like this vengeful creature trying to stop me from being able to be a teenager. When I took my will out of it and I took that advice, and like I just became that loving, caring voice, and I'm like, I'm gonna let you do what you need to do to develop and grow. But understand my experience with doing these same things got me into a real bad place. Spent 9 years of my life incarcerated as a result of getting the next one. If I wasn't incarcerated, I was in a trap house, a shooting gallery, or on the streets. Didn't really matter. I had the desire for a different way of life. I was not willing to put in any work. Right before I got clean this time, I got my last shot. Allegheny Drug Court, regardless of the violent charges, was like, hey, we'll give you a shot. I had somebody like throw my name in a hat, take a gamble, and like they actually accepted it. When I went through this, like that program, that saved my life, but I still wasn't ready. So like I did the first violation, failing drug test. And then number two, as per their policy on number three, you get resentenced. You go back in front of your judge, you get resentenced. I violated a gun charge with previous felonies. We can put two and two together and realize it would be a lengthy vacation. Prior to the third violation, I was showing up in a meeting in my area because my wife was forcing me to do it. She's like, if you don't want me to leave and you don't want me to take all this, like you're gonna show up at meetings and you're gonna change. Her forcing her will. I relapsed, and it was a hell of a month. It was all I have to do is go to the safe for the next one. I didn't have to rip. I didn't have to go steal. I didn't have to do any of that. So like it got really bad really fast. This was at the very, very beginning of COVID, probably like right before the world shut down. I would show up at meetings while using, and people would come over and, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an addict. I was just that blunt asshole where I'm like, hey, 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 I'm on parole, man. I'm taking a drug test tomorrow. I'll be shooting coke all week until the next one's about to be there. I just need a couple days to pass. And I'm going to keep repeating these behaviors. Don't waste your breath on me. My sponsor today, who's been since the beginning of my journey, was one of those people. When the pain got great enough, I went to treatment. Well, first, I called parole. They weren't allowed. I wasn't allowed in office. They weren't allowed to visit me. I had no way to get caught. I died that spiritual death they talk about in here. This time was the first time I've ever gotten clean in my life with the ways and means to get more. It hurt bad enough on the inside. I saw the damages I was causing to my children, to my wife, and to everybody around me that I was like, dude, I just want to die. I called my parole agent. I'm like, dude, I can't stop using. He was like, you realize I can't see you and you can't see me. You have no way to get caught. Yet you're calling to tell on yourself. I said, you told me if I was honest with you, you would work with me. And if I don't have your accountability over my head, I'll be dead in the next week. I promise you that. can I please go to treatment? I got a half-hearted giggle. He said, you're going to fucking jail. And I was just like, oh, shit. That's fine. Can I go to treatment first so I don't have that really hard transition in it? He said, yeah, go ahead. Turn yourself in the day you get out. I remember I completed on a Thursday. I called and I said, listen, man, can I just have this weekend with my kids and I'll turn myself into the sheriff's office on Monday. No running, no bullcrap. Like, I will be there at 9 a.m. on Monday. Said, you're good. Once again, as per policy, third violation, resentencing. We got to the sheriff's office to turn myself in. My wife was the one that took me. We have a business. We have kids. I said, look, man, I'm not asking for leniency, none of that. But can you please give her an idea of what my sentence is going to be so she can prepare herself for the courtroom and she doesn't do the pass out thing or like the all-term shock where it's like, oh, no. He looked at my wife, said, it'll be home in a week. I looked at him. His exact words were, shut the fuck up. I'll talk to you inside. I went inside. He explained that the reason he was giving me another chance was because he saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself. He said, but I promise you, if you screw this up again, I will put my career on the line to bury you under the prison and make sure you get the maximum sentence on every charge that you violated. I have been clean since that day. That person, I haven't been on paper in, I don't know, three and a half years. But that person gave me a chance when I was undeserving. Some way, somehow, God intervened and let this man give me a shot. He used something, he didn't say live the program, but he said, you better start apply the things that you hear in those meetings to your life or you're just going to die. You're not going to have the chance to live through the misery. You're not going to have a chance to get drugged through the mud. You're just going to die. So what life is today, I don't even know when I'm supposed to go to, but what life is today, I own a few businesses. I am a father to all of my children. If you ask any of them, will your dad tell a lie? Everyone will universally tell you absolutely not. If I say we're going to the park and some other things pop up, that park trip that was planned for 2 hours might become 15 minutes. We're still going. I am keeping my word to you. You will never be able to look at me and tell me that I lied to you. And if for some reason something needs broken, you better believe I have the best excuse in the world and it's an absolute emergency. That was a behavior taught to me by people in these rooms that live the program. My sponsor is probably one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. When I first showed up here, now mind you, whatever your drug of choice is, whatever you did, absolutely fine. But you feel you belong here, you belong here. I showed up in the meeting, got this little comb over haircut, little polo shirt, looking all fancy like the CEO of some big company. I'm like, this dude smoked too many joints when he was in college. That's how he ended up here. Let me tell you, that is not the case. He was definitely a dude that got stuck in the woods, smoking crack, shooting dope, and getting stuck looking in the mirror. And like the way he portrays it is, I was a T-Rex. And I would just stare at myself wanting to be weird because I don't want to be around people. That man has become one of the most respectable individuals I've ever met in my entire life. And he has guided me through this process. I credit him for giving the behaviors to emulate to become the person I am. I'm not like a carbon copy of him. I would say I took him and the group of people he told me were great individuals, a couple of them sitting in this circle today, ones that I see every single week, man. Like, these men changed my life by showing me what it was to be a man. When I came here, like, I knew how to do business. I knew how to hustle. We all know how to hustle. We know how to lie. We know how to manipulate. We know how to do all that. I had no idea how to take care of a wife, how to take care of a kid, how to, like, not cheat, not be a piece of shit, not be sneaky. I didn't know how to tell the truth. I would have no reason to lie. I would eat at Burger King. You would ask me. It was McDonald's. I literally was incapable of telling the truth. And like, the bad part is, like, I can't keep up with that. I don't have the memory to try to remember what this lie covered this one. We all know what that's like. It's a nightmare. It was taught to me in this program that, like, no matter how harsh the truth is, you made the decision to tell that truth, you better tell it, because you don't got to remember no bullshit and you can get right past it and it'll sound the same every time you talk about it moving forward. Like, when I come up here, like, dude, I'm not perfect. I still act out on a lot of defects. I'll tell you this much, though. They don't destroy my marriage. They don't break trust. They are not detrimental to my life. And it's sure as hell not putting a chemical in my body. I have another chance tomorrow, and I can heal through them. And the thing is, I don't hide them. When I act out or I feel like I'm gonna do something dumb, I have so many great people in my life that live this program. I call, I'll tell them myself, I'll be like, this is how I feel, this is how I acted, whether it be in like anger, fear, or if it's like I have something with lust going on in my head, whatever it is, I call and I talk about it and we get through it. And I have that relief at the end of it. However, I have learned through my experience when I don't just call and tell on myself and I feel ashamed of like, oh my God, you've been around a couple days, like you shouldn't have these thoughts. And then it just starts to build and build. And then it's like, dude, I literally will convince myself when I look in the mirror that like I'm a piece of shit. Didn't act out, but for having thoughts, I will think less of myself because in my mind, I shouldn't think this way if I'm an active member of Narcotics Anonymous. That's not the case, man. I'm still fucked up, but that's okay. They tell me all I gotta do is keep coming back. Don't do anything. Don't put a chemical in your body. You got another chance tomorrow. When I go back and I say that it comes down to everything like brushing your teeth and stuff like that, obviously that's like the very bottom of it. Like I said with the businesses, I think the biggest thing I learned, and now for one of those, my sponsor is my business partner. I worked real hard to establish good credit and like do all the things that come with trying to be a responsible adult. I had a dream about this business for a long time. My thing is like, I'm not signing anything where you can mess up my credit or you can mess up my well-being. One thing I can tell you about that man, money doesn't change him. Whether he has it all or whether he has none, that is the same human being day in and day out. And he also taught me that the best way to do business is just to be morally sound. When you're chasing a dollar rather than just chasing the growth, enjoying the process, going through the hard times to make the good times feel better, that is what is important. It's not like running around making $1 million and like doing it at the snap of a hat. Make sure you treat everybody right along the way. If you have somebody working for you, make sure you treat them well. Make sure if they're expecting to get paid on Friday, you have that on Friday morning. They don't want to hear an excuse and they're expecting this. They're feeding their families on it. Treat people right and all the other things will come. He has shown me through example that like if I apply the program to all areas of my life, including business, the process is a lot easier and it's a lot less stressful. At this very moment in life, I'm basically living on a line of credit because I've invested everything I have into different areas. I'm at that little pit where like they say, get some debt to have some growth. I have days where like that's real uncomfortable. When you look at the bank account, you're like, there's nothing in there. It's like, wow, this is shitty. And then I just remember like, dude, I built a life where like I was responsible enough to have some credit and some trust. And if I ever have a day where like I need on-hand liquid funds for anything, dude, I have 50 people on my phone I can call for anything I need. And without question, here you go, man, I got you. Give it back whenever you got it. It's that simple. If I apply the program in my daily life, and people know that it's genuine, not just standing up here saying that good shit, trying to sound good, trying to impress you, like, I'm perfect, but like people actually get to observe your behaviors day in, day out, and see you apply it everywhere, you get trust. I wasn't used to that. But like if I put my word on anything today to any person, everybody who knows me will back it up, and like that's a crazy feeling. It's nice to know that I have that many men in my life who care about me enough that like they won't let me fall. If I stay in the middle and make sure that like my life is centered around my recovery and my recovery is not centered around my life, things just always seem to work out. There's good times, there's hard times, and there's everything in between, but I get to tackle every day with an attitude of gratitude just by applying the principles of this program. I'm Nick, I'm an addict.
Our second speaker is Roberta S. from the Lawrenceville meeting, yes. Saturday mornings.
Come on, Roberta.
I feel like I'm dying.
I know. What is this thing?
is this? Oh, Jesus. Hi, I'm an addict. My name's Roberta. I start getting antsy. It's like, you know, I pray and turn this over. And I tell myself, once I pray and turn this over, that it's already done. You know, and I try not to think about it, but I'm human. And this is not one of my favorite things to do. Because I've learned over the years that talk is cheap. And when I came in the program, I had so many issues when I got here. I picked up on a daily basis when I was 11. And I didn't put that drug down till I was in a cell and had a spiritual experience because I was ready to hang myself. At the age I was going, I was a month shy of 30. I'd been out there long and hard. I had a baby when I was 14. I dragged him around to every set in the city. My family was done with me. My son didn't want anything to do with me. I was homeless. I had nothing. I never worked in my life. Everything I knew how to live was on the streets. Jails, institutions. Somebody, Craig talked earlier about the pride. They called me a thoroughbred. I was proud of that handle. I was a thoroughbred. Hurt anyone I came in contact with. My mother, I stole off her, took out of her purse. She was raising my son on a fixed income. My son had piggy banks. I got in there with the knife and took all his money. I mean, I had no feeling, like the basic text says. Living skills were reduced to the animal level and the capacity to feel human was lost. I never had it. I never had it, even before a drug. I was selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking. I could think about nothing but myself and how to get high. Girls had dreams of being a veterinarian, being a nurse, being a wife. I didn't want any of that. I wanted to get high. And that's what I did. My whole life, from the time of 11 to a month shy of 30, my whole life, every day, I got loaded until it turned on me. I wasn't getting high anymore, I was getting low. By the time I got here, I had so many issues. And you know how when we come in here, everything's so friggin' huge. I mean, it was huge. I felt hopeless. I was in jail many times. We were talking this morning. This last time when I went, you know what? I used to take people to meetings from detox and say, I knew this worked. I saw people that I knew from the streets who I didn't know what they were doing, but when I watched them and looked in their eyes, I knew they were doing, something was working. They were clean. The light was in their eyes. The light. And that light was an attraction. I would go to detoxes. I became so comfortable in detoxes that the detoxes used to say to me, Roberta, you want to stand up and tell them how much you like detox? I mean, I would get up there and give a big speech on how wonderful detox was. I usually met a boyfriend in there. Then we were going to go live happily ever after. And we wouldn't be out of there 15 minutes and we were both loaded and fist fighting. You know, I didn't know how to live. I had not a clue on how to live. And when I got here, I had so many feelings. Paula talked about shame and guilt. I was shamed and guilt. And I hated God. I thought God just condemned me to this. And that last time when I got arrested and was in that cell, something happened to me. I had been in and out of Narcotics Anonymous for about 7 years. And people would look at me and say, I mean, what else could they say to me but, are you praying? And I would go, yeah, I pray. But my head's going, why do they keep asking me that? What can that possibly do? Now, I signed my name in the book for the home groups. Back then, you signed your name in, put your clean day. Signed my name in the book a million times. Asked you to sponsor me. Have a sponsor, have a home group. I got a sponsor, I got a home group. Did I ever call a sponsor? No. Did I want to call a sponsor? No. Did I show up at my home group? Yeah, but I left the cups and the ashtrays filled with my cigarettes for someone else to pick up and clean. I never did any service, never stood at the door, and I couldn't stay clean, and I'm wondering why. Why isn't this working for me? I end up in that cell. I couldn't take it anymore. The gift of desperation, G-O-D. Gift of desperation. I heard a guy say to me, I was hallucinating in that cell. He said, you don't ever have to live this way. Don't take the first one. Here's what I heard in that cell. I finally heard, don't take the, here's what I used to hear when I would come to meetings. Don't use the third day. That's what I heard. And I really, by the time it would get through my self-centered filter, things that you were saying to me, the solution, it would be twisted. It would be all twisted up to do what I wanted to do. Don't use the third day. Okay, I'll try it. I tried it. It don't work. Anyways, I'm in this cell. It's the end of the road. It's the gift of desperation. But I don't know that. I think my world is over. Because all I've ever done is get high, use. That's all I've ever done. Been involved in stuff that's... It makes me sick when I think of it. Left my son a long time ago. Now he's 15 years old. You know, in the beginning I used to say, when he's one, I'm going to get it together when he's one. When he's three, I'm going to get it together when he's three. When he's five, I'm going to get it together. After that, I quit saying it. It was like I lost hope. And a dope fiend out there that lost hope is a dangerous dope fiend. Because you have nothing. I had nothing to lose. And there was a guy that stood in front of me one time with a sawed-off shotgun pointed at my head. And here's how I felt about myself. Go ahead. Go ahead and do it. And he looked at me. He said, you're out of your mind. I said, I know that. I know. I'm in this cell, and all of a sudden I hear this guy, Billy N. from Garfield, that used to help everybody coming out of the penitentiary. And he said to me, you don't have to live this way. Don't take the first one. And I heard it. Because I was ready to hang myself. Now, I never did that before, but I thought, it's over. Because if I get out of here, I'm going to use against my will. The last 10 years of my using was using against my will. I didn't want to use. But I couldn't stop. And I thought, if I get out of this cell, if I get out of this jail, I'm going to go get high, but I don't even want to. But he said that to me. I was ready to tie sheet up. I made my decision. Believe it or not, when I made that decision to tie that sheet up, I felt a sense of relief. It's going to be over. I heard him say that. And then right after that, a friend of mine, Nate, said, if you're not praying, you're not staying. And that's what I resisted the most all those years. I got up off that cot. I got down on my knees. It was like, and there was a part of me watching myself, like from above. And I watched her get down on her knees. And I said, whoever you are, help me. I didn't know no prayers. I didn't know nothing. I said from the bottom of my heart, probably the most honest place I ever been in my life, whoever you are, help me. And all of a sudden, I got this feeling, this peace that I never had, even before a drug. Never had that peace. This peace came over me. This warmth came over me. I knew I was an addict, and I knew what it meant. I used to think it's using drugs. Now I all of a sudden know what an addict means. I got a bunch of behaviors that's going to take me back to where I came from before I got into this jail. I have to deal with me. I knew I was an addict. I knew what that meant. I knew I needed help, and I knew I needed a God who I didn't know. The next thing I know, my cell kicks open. I walk out of the cell. The women that I known all my life were in there playing spades, you know, shucking and jiving. And, you know, we used to have the dope sewed in the clothes. You dropped the clothes off back then. Do in them mirrors that you can't see yourself. I'm in there in the neck. I walked out of that cell. They looked at me. They went, "Something's different about you. What happened to you?" I said, "I don't know what happened to me in there, but I'm not coming back." I had the light. I didn't know that then. The light in my eyes. Dottella used to talk about the light in your eyes, and she said you could watch the light leave the eyes of people, even in the rooms. When the light leaves, when we stop the process, it ain't about the picking up. It's what happens before the picking up. The defects, the secrets, the lies, the manipulation, the cheating, the this, the that, the that. That's the disease of addiction for me. So I get up off my knees and I say, "What am I going to do? What do you do now? What do you do when you don't get high?" Walked out of there. The women that used to bring the meetings in, I went straight to the books. Opened up the book. I found the third step prayer. "Take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live." I start kneeling down every morning saying the third step prayer and kneeling down every night and saying, "Thank you that I didn't get high today." All of a sudden, boom, doors start swinging open. I got into a treatment program where you wore the cardboard signs and the behavior modification back then. They don't do it anymore. They call it abuse, but it was good for me. I needed the cardboard sign, I needed the dirt bag, I needed to be called names, I needed the this and that. I needed to learn how. I was in there for almost a little over a year. I got a sponsor when I was in there. I start calling a sponsor and I start talking to a sponsor. I was praying every morning. That cell, I didn't realize, was the first three steps. I surrendered. I'm calling a sponsor. I'm going to meetings. Everybody else, you had to take a chaperone. They would run around and go meet their boyfriends. I'm going to a meeting. Go ahead, meet your boyfriend. Whatever you're doing, we'll meet back up. I'm running to meetings. I ran to meetings like crazy. Here we go. Emotions. See, they told me, and I love this. This helped me so much when I got clean. This ain't about what you feel, girl. This is about what you do. And I had to avoid the feelings for a while because my feelings were delusional. My feelings had me so stuffed with shame and guilt. I couldn't talk about my son for the first 5 years. And 37 years later, I still get choked up about it. I can't stay there. I got to go help somebody. I got to be at my home group early. I got to help set up. I get to my home group. It's at 1 o'clock. I get to my home group, 11:30, help set up the meeting. Stand at the door. We quit doing that. Stand at the door. They told me, stand at the door. Billy N told me, "You want to forget about your problems, stand at the door." And so I was desperate. See, I was so motivated not to go back where I came from. And that's what keeps me here today. I'm not trying to get the big house, the gigantic cars, the big checking account. I already had that using. I had money, drugs, everything, dope man. Leisure vans back then. Oh, look, that's not what this is. This is an inside job, and I can't forget that. My purpose here is service. It's service. The informational pamphlet, that's what it's called, IP, informational pamphlet, Living the Program. One of my favorite pamphlets. It's the program. Did I pray today? Did I go to a meeting? Do I owe any amends? Did I hurt anybody? Did I talk to my sponsor today? Well, today I just don't talk to my sponsor, which I connect with my sponsor every morning. We send out messages to a group of us every morning. I see my sponsor several times a week at meetings. My sponsor knows everything about me. I'm secret free now through the steps. But it asks me the questions. It doesn't say, how am I feeling? My feelings lie to me. My feelings lie to me. My feelings will tell me if I dwell on them, you're not good enough. You left your son. He hates you. You haven't seen your grandson, your grandkids in 17 years. See, nothing happened the way I wanted it to here. Not too much. Because how they say, what you plan or whatever, what happened for me was the miracle of feeling peace. The miracle of feeling contentment. The miracle of finding God happened for me here. The miracle of service. It's not about, I'm not a taker anymore. I was a taker all my life. I'm a giver today, and I can stand up and say that without it being a boast. When I'm in a meeting, if a new person comes in the door, whether male, female, male, I'm going to get some guys, get over to him, man. If it's a woman, I'm going to say, come on and sit with us. And that's, for me, is living the program. It's not about what I say. He said it before. We're good talkers, man. I talked for 20 years out there, talked myself to get this or that. We could work polished manipulators and talkers. She said last night we manipulate the friggin' literature. You know, we can manipulate. I gotta check myself, and how I check myself is with the informational pamphlet, Living the Program. An inventory. Now the steps too is one big inventory. The steps are, the first one I put the drug down. That's worked perfectly. The rest of the steps make me a better person. Honesty. It's honesty was freedom for me. I lived with so many lies. It was like balled up inside. Just the one big lie. And you know what? Today, my life's an open book. You can ask me anything. I have such a great life today. It's not what I have. But guess what? God keeps giving more to me than I ever imagined. I've been to places in my recovery where I didn't think I was going to make it till next week financially. Boom, check in the mail. I remember I used to hear that. Oh, I got a check in the mail in recovery, in the meetings. Check's in the mail. Check came in the mail out of nowhere. And I'm like, when's my check coming? Don't you know I got a check in the mail? I got a couple checks in the mail since, you know, from insurance companies. You overpaid them for your car insurance, things. I wound up owning two homes. No, not to be in on anybody. For me, I was always a leaner on somebody. Help me lean, manipulate. Come on, go in on this with me. I did it myself with you. Bought my first house. Sold that, bought my second house, sold that. Now I'm in a senior living. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I don't even have to change a light bulb. I'm in my neighborhood where I grew up, where I wanted to be, back in Lawrenceville. I'm just happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. Oh, my God, I'm happy. It's so easy. My life is easy today. I don't have worries financially. I don't have no worries like that. As long as I follow this way, I have nothing to fear. I go to a lot of meetings. I reach out to a lot of people. It gets rough sometimes. It gets blurry sometimes nowadays. But I keep reaching out. I got so many good people, talked about the good people. And I used to say, what kind of saying is that? Dot used to say, get with the winners. Get with the winners. And he talked about it. The people that live the program, you see it in their life. It's not what they say. I forget what you say. I've listened to probably 30 Fifth Steps. I had a girl last week, she just got back into the room. She said, do you remember when I did my fifth step? I didn't even remember doing it. I go, listen, I don't remember what anybody says to me. I'm there just to like, so you get honest. So you get honest. I don't remember stuff. Plus I did 10 times worse. I'll run circles around you. But anyways, living the program, that informational pamphlet, keeps me in today. And that was like 1,000 pounds off my shoulder. Because I was always, well, what if this happens? Or what am I going to do when I'm old? What am I going to, well, I'm old now. I'm 67. My life's just getting great. Great. I have no worries. My life is good. If I got hit by a truck on the way home, I'm fine. I know where I'm going. Believe me, I know where I'm going. Just for today, 24 hours, it's just worry-free, peaceful, good people, prayer, forgiveness, acceptance. That all has come along for me. I don't have that old stuff anymore. In the building where I'm at, there's a lot of old fiends. I used to run the streets with them. They like, Berta. You know, I go over, I sit with them. I hang out with them at the picnic bench. Look, I love them. They're my people. I don't fear getting high anymore. Because guess what? Just for today, I don't want that. I hope I never go back to that, but just for today, I don't want that life anymore. Plus that weird shit they're using out there now. Jeez, I want the real thing if I go back. The pure, this is crazy stuff out there. Now your teeth are gone, your hair's gone, this, they look bad, man. The girls look bad. But anyways, I'm just saying, listen. This is the greatest show on earth. Nowhere else. I've been in treatment a million times. I was on a methadone program a million times. Most of the time, I couldn't even make it over there because I get distracted on the way to the clinic. Oh, so-and-so got that? Okay, I'll go over. I'll get a, you know. I've been every kind of imaginable attempt to change and to stop using. Nothing worked. Until Narcotics Anonymous and my surrender. It's a surrender. I surrender to the disease. Dot Talley told me, you know, Berta, why you're staying clean now? I said, why, Dot? She said, you respect this disease. You respect this disease now. When I start acting out, because I'm not perfect, like we said, we're human. I used to think you had to get perfect, the defects go away. They don't go away. But here's my secret. This has been my secret to staying here and ridding myself of the defect today. I tell on it. I pray on it, on a seventh step. I give it to God. And I tell on it to somebody I trust and somebody that I respect in Narcotics Anonymous. And it's gone. I surprise myself sometimes. I think of other people first. That's crazy for me. That's crazy. I wake up and I'm thinking about somebody that's having a hard time. And I pray for them or I call them. New person comes in the room. I don't get with that sign a meeting list with my name and 1,000 number. They don't even know who you are. They ain't gonna call you. I go over to them. Can I have your number? Call them. What do they know about picking up the phone? I call them. And that starts it. Or if they do pass that around, I write my name and I write my home group. If you want to find me, here I am. You taught me a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of living. And I'm forever grateful. I want to thank the committee. This is one of my favorite retreats. I've been working weekends for a long time now. I haven't got up here. I am so happy to be here with my very good friend, Vicky, who's speaking tomorrow morning. All right, thank you. Get this thing off me.
Thank you to the speakers for sharing your